your new identity, the new you, and the liberty that comes with this new identity, and especially as we become established in this new identity. Today, the focus is going to be how are we to be established in this new identity? How are you to be established in your new identity? Now, it is the heart of God and it is the desire of God that you be established in the reality of who you are in Christ. In Isaiah 54, verse 13 and 14, God says, all my children, all of them, all of you, all of us, all my children will be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of my children. My children, as they are taught by the Spirit of God and the anointing of God that teaches them all things and unveils unto them their inheritance and the things that belong to Christ and unveils unto them that which is finished and brings them into the reality of what is done and what is finished, they shall have a peace that passes all understanding. Great shall be their peace. The peace, the reality, and the experience of both the internal and the external conflicts being reconciled. Having victory over them all. Coming into a place of an inner quietness because of the finished work of the cross. This is the Father's dream and the Father's desire. And the Father says in righteousness, they're going to be established. They're going to be established in union with me. In union with me. They're going to be established in oneness with God in Christ. They're going to be established in the reality of the authority that is now theirs because of the finished work of Christ. And they shall know what it is. What are their rights and what are their rights and what belong to them as sons of God and as citizens of the heavenly kingdom. They shall walk in the reality of knowing that they are in right standing, accepted because of the blood, justified, so that they can live in this place where there is no condemnation, no guilt, no shame, no insecurity, no inferiority. For they are going to be established in righteousness, and they shall be far, far from oppression, for they shall not fear. And so the access that the enemy had to them, that access door will be shut completely. Because without fear, the enemy has no access to them. No means by which he can bring that oppression. They're going to be far from terror. Their righteousness is of me. So this is the dream of the Father, that we would be established in righteousness. And Paul prays concerning that in Colossians chapter 1. And I can say Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, prayed this prayer. In other words then, given that the Holy Spirit ever makes intercession for us, given that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us, then we can take this as the very prophetic prayer of God for us. The prayer of Jesus, the prayer of the Holy Ghost for us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, 9, 10, 9 through to 14, but let me just pray it. So, because of this hope that we are called to, this hope of Christ in us, this mystery, because God has called us into this hope, called us into this reality of Christ being our life. Therefore, by the Spirit of God, this prayer goes forth continually, that you and I might be filled with the knowledge of His will. That we would have an intimate knowledge of His will that comes out of being in a communion fellowship with him. And that will is our sanctification, that we would know the reality of being of separation unto him. For this is the will of God, for we are not our own, but we are bought with a price. We are the temple of the living God. This is now the body that he lives in. And our meat is to do his will. This is the will of God, even our sanctification. So that we might know what and be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and in all spiritual understanding. So that we might walk worthy of the Lord. So that we might walk in a manner that will glorify him. That we will walk in a manner that is worthy of the blood that was shed to give us this life of Christ. That we might walk upright in the gospel, in the reality of Christ within us, the hope of glory. Walking worthy of the Lord, bringing honor to his name, living in a manner that is well pleasing unto him, living by faith, living in obedience, living with a continual confident trust in that which is finished and in the reality of who he is, and ever increasing in that intimate knowledge of him, ever growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, strengthened with all might by his Spirit, strengthened with all might by the Holy Ghost, unto all patience and perseverance and long-suffering, and with joy, giving thanks unto God the Father who has qualified us, who has qualified us by that shed blood and by that sacrifice, so that we are qualified to be partakers of this inheritance that is in the saints. Inheritance, the multitude and the unsearchable riches of Christ, having been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, so that we are no longer under the authority of the enemy, but he is underneath us. We rule over him by the power and the might of the name of Jesus. And we've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of glory, the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And in whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption, for we have been redeemed from all the works of darkness. We have been redeemed from every curse of sickness, disease, poverty, lack, separation from God, confusion, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is the will of God that we might indeed be filled with the knowledge of these things and be rooted and grounded in Christ, rooted and grounded in the love of God, rooted and grounded in him. Bless his name forevermore. So God wants us to have a clear understanding, a clear comprehension of not only who we are, but how to be established in who we are. And the wisdom, how, what actions we are to take so that being established in righteousness, established in that new identity, will become experiential. It will not take place without taking the right actions. Revelation alone will not accomplish it. Because you see, by meditation comes revelation. But revelation is not the manifestation. Revelation will produce the motivation so that you can take the action. But not until you take the action will you have manifestation. For this is how it goes. Meditation produces revelation, and revelation produces motivation, and motivation will move you into action. And when action is taken, then will you have manifestation. So we must have manifestation, we must have the experience, and we must have the fulfillment of being established in that new identity. Revelation is necessary, but we need the wisdom to take the right action. Amen. You know, they sometimes say that wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Colossians chapter 2, reading from verse 6. Who are we? What is this new identity? And I know we've come at this from various angles over the last 3-4 teachings. But here again, let's come at it another way. Is that all right? Colossians chapter 2, reading from verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you have received Christ, walk, regulate your life, conduct yourself, living harmony with, walk worthy of, conduct yourself in union with and in conformity to him. Conduct yourself in union with him because you are now one with him. That is the essence of righteousness. Be rooted and built up in him. Be rooted and built up in that new identity that is yours in Christ. And be established in the faith. Be established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And beware lest anyone will cheat you, will rob you, will seduce you by philosophy and by empty deceit, and pull you out of living in that place of this union that you have with God in Christ. And pull you out of that place of where you are in Christ. And pull you out of that new identity, that new creation, with deceit, with philosophy, with reasoning, with logic, with legalism. According to the traditions of men, and according to the basic principles of the world, but not after Christ, the anointed one. Because you see, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell bodily in Christ, giving complete expression of that divine nature. And guess what? You are complete in Christ. You and I, we are complete in Christ. Hallelujah. You are in him made full and having come to the very fullness of life in Christ. You too are filled with the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You too reach full spiritual stature in Christ. This is who you are. When you can grasp this, then you can see that you're not trying to get the nature of God. You have the nature of God. You are already a partaker of his divine nature. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Christ himself is your life. That's the very nature of God that is on the inside of you. Now, what is the Spirit of the Lord saying? He is saying that you are now to be established in who you are, in the nature of God, in Christ, in this reality. Be established, be anchored in this. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it says, in him, in Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision that was made without hands, by the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Now, you know, in the natural circumcision, but this is talking about a spiritual circumcision. Not made with the knife of a medical doctor or a surgeon, but made by the Spirit of God. It was made without hands. But let's capture this just for a minute. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. What for? In the case of the male, to take off the foreskin. But no, this is by the Spirit of God to take off what? What foreskin? The body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now the Amplified says, in a spiritual circumcision performed by Christ by stripping off the body of the flesh, the whole corrupt carnal nature with its passion and lust. So you see, Instead of the foreskin in the natural, it is that skin. It is that body of flesh. It is that old sin nature. It is the old man. It was cut off. We have been circumcised, but a circumcision made without hands. And we have no confidence in the flesh. It says in Philippians 3, verse 3. And in this circumcision, that old man, that old nature, with all of his carnality, was chopped off. And just like in the natural, they discard that foreskin. Well, similarly, that old man and his old nature was discarded and buried. Amen? Did you get that? Hallelujah. Now, that's going to become very, very important. Because you need to know that that old man is crucified, dead, buried, and gone. Who did that? God did that. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised up with him through the faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made you alive together with Christ, having forgiven all your trespasses. And not only that, get rid of the old man. Have you totally forgiven? Dead, buried, cut off. Gone. And in addition to that, the very handwriting, the laws and the rules and the regulations, do this, keep this law, keep this law. All of those that the old man could never keep anyway, that handwriting, it has been wiped out. And it has been wiped out. He's wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that were against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So think of this new man. Now, you see, when the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, having boldness to enter the holiest, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. But then it also goes on to say, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the veil of his flesh that was torn, by this new and living way that he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say his flesh. What is this veil of his flesh? What is that about? I get the blood. Boldness because of, but what is this veil? Oh yes, well, we have the type that on the day when Jesus was crucified, the veil that kept them out of the holiest of holies was torn from the top to the bottom. And it was God that did that. And we see that symbolism. But what exactly is that veil? It is that humanity. It is this flesh that kept us out of the holiest of holies. But now you see that what happened here, we see here that in this very flesh, by death, Jesus put an end to us and that humanity. He put an end. That old man was crucified. And in his death, we died. I'm going to come back to that a little later. But in his death, we died. Hallelujah. And everything that was from our humanity, that was stripped away. And God gave us a brand new spirit. Hallelujah. And that old nature was gone. Amen. I got to leave that. I need to come back to that, but I could do it a little bit better at a certain point later on. But hold that thought, okay? Hang it over here. Say this with me. The veil of his flesh. That flesh has been torn. In the name of Jesus. And I've got access. That flesh doesn't dominate me anymore. All right, let's just leave it here for now. We're going to come back to that. Hallelujah. Blessed be in the name of the Lord. Putting off the body of the sins of that flesh. Stripping it off. All right. Okay, fair enough. So, This new identity is your liberty. John 8:36 says, this new identity, and when we say new identity, you've got to capture. We are talking about this spirit man. We are talking about this new creation man on the inside. Amen? And we've covered a lot of ground on that over the last couple of messages. John 8:36 says, concerning him, Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is what? free indeed. He has absolute, total, complete liberty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, where the Spirit, that the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is liberty. Well, guess what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, when you are born again of the Spirit of God, and especially when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, when you are born again of the Spirit of God, the Word of God says you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God is in you. Romans 8, verse 9. So, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where is the Spirit? Is he in your spirit? Well, wherever he is, there's liberty. What does that liberty mean? The Amplified says it is an emancipation and a freedom from bondage of every sort. So in your spirit, there is absolute, total liberty. That is why 2 Corinthians 17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And then it says in verse 18, all of us with unveiled face, we look into the perfect law. We look into that word of God, which is the perfect law of liberty. And we see what? We look into that. We look with unveiled face into that mirror. And we see the glory of the Lord. We see glory. We see the essence of our born again spirit. And as we stay with it, we are transformed and changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. As we stay fixed on the reality of who we are on the inside, then the Spirit of God will do that work of transformation. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. So to be established in liberty is to stand fast. To be established in liberty and to stand fast in your liberty means freedom. That liberty, to be established in liberty is to stand fast in the liberty. That means freedom from limitations, freedom from an environment and the circumstances and bondages and the curse, etc. But to stand fast in that liberty, you must stand fast in your new identity. That new identity, which is Christ. Christ is your life. As he is, so are you in this world. That new identity is righteousness. Christ is made unto us righteousness. You were made to be sin. He was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That new identity is righteousness. This new man is created in what? Righteousness and true holiness. And in this new identity, there is total, perfect, complete liberty. You are free indeed. Now, we've got to grasp this, because you see, it is when you are fixed and you walk in the Spirit, and you walk after that new man, and you be lined up and yoked together with him, that is when that liberty gets worked out into the rest of your being. Amen? All right. So, the nature that is in there, among other things, is righteousness. It is the nature of God. And righteousness, the scripture says, delivers from death. Proverbs 11:4. Quite frankly, we can expand that by looking and studying a whole lot of other verses, and you will see that righteousness delivers from the works of hell and from darkness. All of them. How could that be? How could righteousness have such power? Well, for one thing, with God all things are possible. Is that right? Does righteousness put you with God? Righteousness is oneness with God. And so, by righteousness, all that God is and all that God has becomes accessible to you. So righteousness, putting you in this oneness with God, means that all things become possible. So righteousness will deliver from whatever works of hell there might be, including death. Righteousness delivers from sickness and disease. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Right? He that says, being dead to sin, that what? We might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Righteousness delivers from the curse. Righteousness, Isaiah 32, verse 17 says, the effect of righteousness is peace. The work What righteousness produced is like white. You know, the scripture says, let patience have a perfect work. Remember, that you might be entire work, wanting nothing. Come to all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh what? Patience. Let patience go to work. Let patience run its course. Let patience have its perfect work and its perfecting work, that you will come to the place where you're entire and wanting nothing. Well, similarly, Isaiah 32 verse 17 says, the work of righteousness is peace. The work of, if you allow righteousness to work its work, it will produce peace. It will produce everything reconciled to God's original intent. It will produce a peace. It will solve and dissolve and resolve the inner conflicts and the external conflicts. Peace, quietness, full assurance forever. Are you with me? So let righteousness have its perfect work, but that righteousness is your nature. That is why when you become established in your nature, what will happen? There is going to be this working out that will produce peace. And that peace is everything reconciled. That peace is a freedom from curse. Righteousness delivers from all the works of hell and all the works of darkness. That means you're born again. Spirit, if it is allowed to rule and to reign, will deliver you from all the works of darkness and all the works of hell. No wonder whosoever is born of God overcometh. Think about it. Righteousness will even bring you into your inheritance. It will bring you into all the rights that are yours. Because of righteousness, you are a joint heir with Christ and an heir of God. To what? To all things. Righteousness will even produce prosperity. Do you believe that? Well, here's a verse of scripture. Isaiah 48, verse 17 and 18. Write it down, come back, meditate on it. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, your covenant-keeping God, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit. And I will lead you in the way that you should go. I will lead you in the way that you should go. Well, we know from Psalms 23, he leads us in the path of what? Righteousness, for his name's sake. I will lead you in the way that you should go. Oh, that you would just listen to me and obey me. Your peace and your prosperity would be like a flowing river. And your righteousness like the waves of the sea. It will just keep on coming. Isaiah 48, verse 17 and 18. Amen? I'm just simply pointing out one thing. This righteousness, which is your nature, delivers. Say delivers. Delivers. Amen? So, no wonder God would want us to become established in this nature. No wonder he wants us to be established in righteousness. No wonder he will say in Isaiah 54, verse 14, that as you are established in righteousness, you're going to be far from any kind of oppression, because you shall not fear. Amen? All right. Now, the first main step to experience this liberty, this freedom that is yours in Christ, is to be established in the new you. Is to be established in your new identity. And that's what we're talking about. Being established in that new identity, because that is your gateway. This is the vehicle. This is what is going to bring you into all of the freedom and liberty for you to enjoy that Jesus has paid for you to have. Amen? Now, James chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. It says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. Why? That we might be a kind of the first fruits of his creatures, that we would be that new creation. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. Because the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. It doesn't produce that oneness with God. And that authority and that right standing. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and all overflowing of wickedness. And receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Which is able to bring your mind, your will, and emotions in line with your spirit. And be doers of the word, be doers of thy word, and not be hearers only, deceiving yourself. Now here we're not just talking about the doing of the word of the word of God. We are talking about doing that word in relationship to who you are, to that new creation that you are. And if anyone is a hearer of the word, he hears the word, he hears who he is in Christ. He gets it is communicated to him. He's now a son of God. This is who he is. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. He's the righteousness of God in Christ. And he hears it, but he's not a doer of it. He doesn't bind himself to it. Then he's like a man that observes his natural face in the mirror, and he walks away, and he forgets completely what it is he saw. He forgets completely that he's the righteousness of God in Christ. He forgets that all things have passed away. He's forgotten that his life is now the life of Christ. He has forgotten the reality of the authority and all of these other things. And he just goes away and just slides and goes back immediately into his humanity rather than functioning in the oneness that he has with God in Christ. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But guess what, though? He who looks into that perfect law of liberty, that perfect law of liberty that reveals his freedom, just how free he is, that perfect law of liberty that reveals the reality of his true identity, and then he stays with it, he continues in it, and he's not a forgetful hearer. He doesn't lose sight of what it is he saw and what is revealed. But he become a doer of the work. There is a work of transformation that will take place. And this one will be blessed, empowered to prosper in whatever he does. What do you mean prosper in whatever he does? In every area of his life. Well, Jesus said the same thing. Jesus said that if you seek first the kingdom of God and you pursue righteousness, what will happen? All these other things are going to be added onto you besides. Didn't he say the same thing? That's scripture saying the same thing. If he goes and he doesn't forget, but he binds himself to what it is he sees in the mirror, the reality of his new nature, the reality of him being the righteousness of God, what will happen? And he stays with it and continues with it. He's going to prosper and he's going to be blessed in whatever he does. So what is the point? The importance and the necessity of becoming established in this new nature, in this new you, in this new identity, in order for you to experience the liberty, the freedom from bondages, and in order that you can have all those limitations that the world suffers with, and you don't have to. That new identity must literally take over your mind. It must take over your thinking. It must take over your consciousness. It must so take it over, it would pretty well almost become like an obsession. It's how you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, it is your predominant thoughts. That word consciousness, it is a state of being awake and of being aware of one's surroundings. So as you are conscious of who you are, you are aware. When you look around, you recognize, I have the righteousness of God in Christ. I have this, I'm free. Oh, and he's just, that consciousness, that awareness of his surroundings, that awareness and this perception that he has, this is who I am. I am a son of God. Oh, I have a confident conscience before God because of the blood. Hallelujah. So this new identity must take over your mind and your consciousness. That is what Proverbs 23:7 says. What does it say? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, awake to righteousness. Develop this consciousness that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are in right standing. You have rights of sonship. You have the authority. Awake to righteousness. And I'm saying this consciousness has to do with your predominant thinking. And I'm trying to impress upon you that it must almost become an obsession. This must be how you think. Let me demonstrate it this way. Here is 1 Corinthians 15:34 that says, awake to righteousness. Develop that consciousness. Amen? And don't be ignorant. Be awake to righteousness. Stop coming short of the glory of God. There are some that do because of ignorance, but not you. Awake to righteousness. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. Now listen to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. You know what it says? Evil communication corrupt good manners. Now I know we take that in the natural to say, well, if you keep bad company, it's going to mess you up. Don't have bad company. And of course there's an application. Watch the company you keep. But I'll tell you the company you keep the most. Your thinking process. Your thinking process is the company you keep the most. So watch what kind of company you keep. Because if you have evil communication and your thinking process is not in line, then you're not going to have that consciousness of righteousness. So let your communication, let your thinking processes, let it be harmonious, let it be infused with the reality of who you are, so that you could be awake and conscious of your righteousness. Does that make sense? All right. You receive that? So this righteousness, this consciousness emerges from an operation of the brain. Say brain. Amen? All right? This is where the rubber meets the road. It doesn't just happen. You don't just get hands laid on you for this. Amen? You can't get your mind renewed by hands laid on you. Amen? And you don't get muscles by just going to the gym one time. Right? All right. This consciousness emerges from the operation of the brain. There's going to be some mental brain work that you need to do. Say me. Amen. There are consciousness in several areas that we're going to have to develop in order to be established in righteousness, in order to be established in who you really, really are in Christ. To be established in this new identity. It's going to take work. The work of transformation. It's going to take exercise. That means an exercise, there's something about exercise that it causes it to produce when you have resistance. Amen? When you have resistance. In other words, you're going to have to exercise in the midst of opposition, because that's when you're going to develop the muscles. It's going to take practice. It's going to take meditation, renewing of the mind, thinking, talking, envisioning, imagining, setting your imagination, setting your mind, letting your mind be fixed on certain truths, using your creative imagination, fixed on the truths of this new man, this new identity. And you do this constantly. And you do that continually. Say development. Development. Amen. Now here are five areas of consciousness that you got to develop in order to be established in this new you. Amen. I'm going to give you five areas. Amen. But let me say this first. The reality and the simplicity of the new you is this. Galatians 2:20. Now, Galatians 2:20 is very personal for me. In fact, this year, 2022, my prayer before God is that this would become my experience. And that would become my testimony. That would become my life. That must be what I breathe. That must be me. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified. I am, I were, whatever you want to fight with, I'm and were, that's up to you. Crucified with Christ. And we know about the circumcision that took place, right? Remember? All right? Get rid of that dead skin. Sorry. Amen. That's the old nature. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I that live. It is Christ that liveth in me. And this life that I now live, That Christ has lived in me, not me, but Christ has lived in me. This life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And we're going to get into that next week when we talk about the liberty, getting the liberty manifested. This life that I now live, because I got to get this life manifested, I live it how? By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and was sacrificed for me. Amen? All right. That is, to me, the snapshot of who you are. 1 Corinthians 2:20, Paul puts it this way. Paul says, I don't desire to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul says, I don't want to hear about your background. I don't want to hear about your history. None of those things concern me. But this is what I want to know about. I want to know Christ and Him crucified. I want to know Christ alive in you and you dead. For you to live is Christ. All right? I want to know that reality. So what happened is, as he says, this is how it needs to be. It's about Christ and Him crucified. No longer being you, but it's Christ that liveth in you. This is the righteousness. This is the oneness. And so now, as we look at these various areas, these five areas that brings about this consciousness, these five areas where you need to develop your consciousness so that you could be established in the new you, so that you could be established in Galatians 2:20. Each of these five, and if we come up with some other more, will connect right back into the fact that it's no longer you, but it's Christ that liveth in you, and this is the life that you now live. Christ and Him crucified. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what these five are up front. First of all, it is the consciousness of having no condemnation. The consciousness of no condemnation. You see? Okay, briefly. Condemnation has to do with a sentence. It's like a death sentence at various levels, right? But can you imagine? I was going to say, if you were in jail and the fine was paid and everything else and you're free to go, it should be over. But let's go further than that. Suppose you were on death row. Right? You did some bad stuff. Right? And not only you were on death row and you were executed. Right? How much more dying would you have to do? Amen? Right? I'm going to fast forward. Well, you already died in Christ. When He died, you died. The law says anyone that breaks this law, the curse of the law is you break the law, you die. Well, guess what? You broke the law. And the punishment was you die. Well, the punishment has been paid. You did die. You die in Christ. You died in His death. So guess what? It's over. You're going to die again? You are dead to the law. Through the law. Amen? Are you ready for that right now, or do I wait until late in the message? Let's wait for late in the message. All right? But the point of the matter is, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Who is in Christ? The new creation man. And the man in Christ, old man was crucified. Price has already been paid. Amen? There is no double jeopardy here. He is already crucified. He already died. He died in the death of Christ. So there is no condemnation. Is that okay? But now you see, that no condemnation consciousness, where you develop the consciousness of, I don't have no condemnation, where does that come from? Comes from the fact that you've been crucified. Hello? Does that make sense? So it all connects back up to Galatians 2:20. And then there's a consciousness of righteousness. And all that goes with it, authority and everything else. But this consciousness of righteousness Where does it come from? The very essence of righteousness, that oneness, is no longer you, but it's Christ that liveth in you. And this righteousness, this oneness, it says in Galatians 2:21, we do not frustrate the grace of God, because if this righteousness, if this oneness, if this, it not being you, but Christ in you, if that came by the works of the law, based on your law, keeping on your great goodness and morality and everything else, then Jesus died in vain. But it didn't come that way. It came because Jesus was crucified. He did not die in vain. And because of that, when you received him, you are made the righteousness of God in Christ, where it's no longer you, but it's Christ that liveth in you. So that very righteousness connects right back to Galatians 2:20. Can you see that? And this righteousness, this oneness, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 2 says that the worshipers, once purged by the blood of Christ, not the blood of bulls and goats, have no more consciousness of sin. But what do they have? They have a consciousness of the righteousness with God. And they have no sense of separation. It is indelibly marked within their consciousness. He never ever leaves me or forsakes me. We are inseparable. You see me, you see him. I am in him and him in me. All right. That connects right back to that, to Galatians 2:20. And then there's the consciousness of being a son of God. Oh, and that is wonderful when you get to it. The fact that it is not you, but it is the life of Christ in you, the scripture says, God did not give us a spirit of bondage again to fear, but he's given us what? A spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that spirit of adoption, if we read in Galatians, is the very spirit of Christ. So the fact that you have the life that you now have is the life of Christ. And he says he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Guess what? The very essence of Galatians 1, Galatians 2:20 has to do with your sonship. Can you see that? And it says in 1 John 3:1 and 2, beloved, behold what manner of love the Father has for you and the Father has for us, that we might be called the children of God, the sons of God. The world, man, they don't recognize us. They don't acknowledge us. But now, right now, are we what? The sons of God, the children of God. Amen? Hallelujah. But we got to develop a consciousness of our sonship. Stop seeing yourself in the realm of humanity and your history and all of that stuff that was crucified. Let your conscience, your consciousness, be just permeated with what? This issue. Permeated with the fact that you are a son of God. I am righteous. I don't have any consciousness of any condemnation. There is no impending doom. And then there's the consciousness of boldness. Where are you bold? You're not timid. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. You don't have a spirit of timidity. You have a spirit of boldness. We have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Christ. Ephesians 3:12. We come boldly to the throne of grace, given the high priest that we have, and because of the blood, we come boldly to the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment, to the throne of grace that we might obtain what? Mercy. And find grace to help in the time of need. So there's a consciousness of that boldness. The righteous are as bold as a lion. As he is, so are we in this world, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. And then there's a consciousness of the blood. Hallelujah. Oh, let that be. You have been sprinkled by the blood. You've been enjoined unto God by that blood. Hebrews 13 verse 20 and 21 says, through the blood, that blood of the everlasting covenant, God makes you perfect in every good work to do his will, well-pleasing in his sight. That's what the scripture says. That through the blood of the everlasting covenant, God makes you perfect. He did it. He well equips you through the blood of the everlasting covenant, so that you who are sanctified, separated unto him, might do his will and do that which is well pleasing in his sight. That blood, the consciousness of that blood. Amen. Now, in each of these, and again, that blood connects back to Galatians 2:20, and so is the boldness. But in each one of these, your thinking and your functioning is as you are in your spirit. Without functioning and seeing yourself in your spirit, how can you possibly be in a place of not having any consciousness of condemnation? Of being free from that, of having no consciousness of condemnation. Without functioning from in your spirit and seeing yourself after the spirit, it is impossible for you to have a consciousness of righteousness and oneness with God and his authority and right standing and these things. Without functioning and seeing yourself in your spirit, it is impossible for you to have that sense of sonship and boldness and the voice of the blood speaking. It's impossible. But you've got to see yourself after the spirit. Galatians 5:25. You know, we talk, you know, in our circles, we talk about walking in the spirit and led by the spirit and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And many times, anyway, but what is that all about? In the spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the spirit, and remember, according to Romans 8 verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Every born again child of God, speaking in tongues or not, once you're born again, you are in the spirit. And the spirit of God is in you. And Christ is in you. So if, Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the spirit, well, let us walk in the spirit. Let us walk in line and in harmony with the spirit. Let us walk in line with your born again spirit, that new nature, if you live there. Because you live there. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Halabako sondore ki shaladadaba. Mandando rondo rombo roto korebeke like rebini mango ndondandaya. Hala baba bakondo mendandere yeleberia korobungande manengande rebe kuriandandaya. Handere ketekelebe bebe. Hendandaya. So there are these five areas where you need to develop a consciousness of each of these, no condemnation. Being the righteousness of God in Christ, the reality of sonship, the boldness, the consciousness of the blood. Next week, we're going to go and break each one of them down, especially that one with condemnation. We'll come back and do that. But I'm not going to go there today. Next week, we'll pick up there. We're going to zoom in on that. But let me say this. In order to be developed in any and all of those areas, like I said, there's some brain work. There's some work you got to do. There's some meditating. There's some exercising. But the number one thing, the number one key, so to speak, in developing your consciousness in any of those areas is your mouth. And it's going to be you talking right continually. And I'm going to end on this point. That's going to be the key. It's wonderful. Oh, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm free. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. I am a son of God. And those are wonderful. But if you don't learn, if you don't do what is necessary to build that into your system, to build that into your consciousness, to develop that confident conscience, if you don't do that, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because you hear enough preaching. It's not going to happen by hands being laid on you or anything else. It will happen as you speak it, as you meditate. And speaking is part of meditating. It's going to happen primarily because of your mouth talking right. If a man does not offend in word, he's a perfect man. And he's able to control and bridle his whole body. The key is going to be your mouth. Psalm 70 verse 4 says, "Let they that love is salvation, love is deliverance, love is wholeness, love is peace, love is freedom. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified." Well, if you say something contrary to the word of God, you better believe you're not magnifying God. So let him say continually, let the Lord be magnified. You're going to have to speak the truth. That's what magnifies God. And the truth is who Jesus is. The truth is what Jesus has finished. The truth is what the word of God says. The truth is who you are in Christ. The truth is what Christ is doing in you. Let them say, how often? Continually. And Ephesians 4:29 says, don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Don't let your mouth speak forward, but let and this scripture comes to my mind. But this is what it's gonna take. All right. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 7 says, "My mouth will speak truth. Wickedness, anything twisted, wicked furniture, anything twisted, that's an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness." All the words of my mouth come from this place of oneness with him. All. And you see, there is power in that. Jesus says if you operate in that righteousness, everything else is going to be added unto you. Romans 10 verse 10 says, "With the heart you believe unto it, unto righteousness. But with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." When you are speaking from righteousness, with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and from that righteousness, confession will be made unto what? Salvation, wholeness, preservation, deliverance, freedom. So you've got to speak, and you've got to speak right, and you got to do it continually in order to develop these various areas of consciousness. Job 22 verse 28 says, "You shall decree a thing," not me for you, not somebody else, "you shall decree a thing, and it shall be established." Unto who? You. And it will cause light to shine upon your pathways. And when light shine upon your pathways, it becomes a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your step. When light shines on your pathway, it will direct your pathway. And if you're speaking right, your steps will be ordered of the Lord. And according to Psalms 85 and verse 13, you will be the righteousness of God will go before you, and you'll be planted in his footsteps. And that will bring you into the destiny, the destination, and the very life and pathways and plan that he has purposed for your life specifically. But you got to do it. Speaking. Proverbs 18 verse 20 says, "A man's stomach will be filled with the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his mouth, whether it be good or evil, he's going to be filled." What is his life going to be filled up with? What comes out of his mouth in excess? You know the story in Matthew chapter 8 with the centurion? The centurion that came to Jesus and said, "My servant is at home, and he's at my servant is sick. And if you would come and lay your hand..." No, that's Jairus. Right? And he said, and Jesus says, "Okay, fine, I'm going to come to your house and heal your servant." The centurion says, "You don't have to come to my house. You just speak the word only, and my servant will be made well. I'm a man under authority, and I know the power of authority of words. I've seen it. I know how it operates. And I see that you've got authority. I'm saying to you, you speak the word only. And what? My servant will be well." Listen to what he said. Yes, he understood authority, but he also spoke right. What did he say? "Speak the word only, and what? My servant will be healed." That's what he said. Jairus, same story. Mark chapter 5. Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came to Jesus. And in Mark 5:23, listen to what Jairus said. "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." He says, "My little daughter lies at a point of death." Was he in denial? Did he say, oh, she's not sick, but come anyway? You know, like we are Christians, we have this denial thing and we think it's faith. He was not in denial. He said, a little girl is at a point of death. She is deadly sick. But you come to my house and you lay your hands on her. I've got faith in the laying hand of your hands. Lay hands on her and my daughter will be healed and she will live. Did you hear what he said? What was he got what he said because he spoke right. Now you know the story. There was another woman that spoke right that day too. The woman with the issue of blood. She says, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She talked right. She went, crawled through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment. Boom, she was made whole. And then Jesus said, who touched me? There is power, there is virtue that went out of me. The disciples who are just, they were so aware of the natural man. People are crowding you, Jesus. What do you mean, who touched you? Jesus says, I'm not talking. There is power that went out. And the woman says, who touched Jesus? The lady says, me. The lady gave Jesus her whole testimony. By the time she was finished her testimony, some runners came from Jairus' house and he says, Jairus, don't bother the master anymore. The little girl is dead. Now Jairus could have think, oh man. First of all, you know something? This woman had an issue of blood. I'm a ruler of this synagogue. She's not supposed to be in public. I should have had her arrested and get her out of here. No. But what happened? Here's a testimony of a miracle that took place. He had said, if you come to my house, my little girl is going to be, you lay your hands on her, she's going to be healed and she's going to be made well. But now these people come with their unbelieving stuff and say the girl is dead. Now that's temptation for Jairus, isn't it? That temptation for begin to wander and waver. Remember, say continually. So watch this here. Now as Mark 5:26 says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken to Jairus, he said to the ruler of the synagogue. Right away, Jesus intercepted it before Jairus could react. And he says, do not be afraid, only believe. What was he saying? Jairus, you already spoke that if I come, lay my hand, the girl is going to be healed and live. Don't say anything. There are times it's better for you to say nothing than to speak and abort what you've spoken before. Amen? So speak the word. Speak the truth. Speak the fact that you are the righteousness of God. Speak the reality that you are. There is no condemnation to me. I don't even think condemnation. You got to speak, I'm the Son of God. You've got to speak the boldness. You've got to speak these areas. Now, we are going to get into it next week and look at them individually so that you'll have some faith in each of those areas, so that you can develop that consciousness. But I will say this, you're going to have to make up your mind to speak. You got to speak to yourself. The scripture says that your tongue is as a pen of a ready writer, writing on the tablets of your heart. You've got to speak to get it into your heart, and that's the only way it comes. All right? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. So make up your mind. Make up your mind that you're not just getting hold of information. Make up your mind that you're not just going to get revelation, which you will. But make up your mind that when you get it, as you get a hold of this, and as you get a revelation, it's going to create within you a motivation, and you are going to take action with your mouth. Amen? Make up your mind right now. Make up your mind right now that you are hearing to do. You are hearing to do. You're in a hearing to do. You are hearing in order to do. In the name of Jesus. I'm hearing so that I can do. I can do. I can do. The doers of the work shall be blessed. The doers of the work. The one that recognizes who he is in the perfect law of liberty and doesn't forget it, but he begins to speak it and declare it and bind himself to it. That man will become established in his new identity, and it will produce all kinds of liberty and freedom, and he will be blessed in all that he does. In the name of Jesus. Amen.